turn our attention to someone that we wanted to have on the radio program. Jeez, Justin, going back to the early days, back in September, October, we kept saying, when are we going to get David Ling on the show? When are we going to get David Ling on the show? Well, that day has finally arrived. And here he is, former NHL forward, the one and only David Ling. David, how are you today? Thanks so much for finally doing this.
I'm doing good. Yeah, it took a while. Stewie kept bugging me, and finally came to it.
Okay, so listen. So Stewie's not here today, but give us your first of all, give us your thought on Stewie, and if you have a couple of good Stewie stories, now is the time to let them fly because he's not here to defend himself.
You know, he came over during the lockout in England. I played with him there, and he was he came in and he was a big, big body that liked going to the net, and he enjoyed to he pranked a lot of the teammates. He was into the pranking. So there's a couple the old water in the helmet trick where you pull the bucket off and the water goes all over you, and the English guys just thought he was the funniest, and Stewie thinks he's really funny too, so
we love him. Listen, you know, when I look at you and your career, and I can recall you when you played with the St. John's Maple Leafs, specifically a couple of games during the lockout season at the Air Canada Centre playing against the Ottawa Senators farm team at the time. You know, I always looked at you and I said, there's a guy right there that's going to play hockey as long as he physically can. Do you feel that you played enough hockey in your life, David?
Yeah, it's funny because when I was first starting pro, I said I'd love to play till I'm 40. And then everyone's like, no one plays till they're 40. And then, I kept playing and playing. And I always was told by the older guys on my team to play as long as you can, because when you leave the game, you're gonna miss it. And so I tried to play as long as I could. And I was fortunate enough that there was teams that wanted me. And I love playing, and I still play. You know, I play senior in Hamilton with the Hamilton Steelhawks, and I just love playing. I love the boys in the dressing room, and I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever stop playing, but
that's good. Don't. Berkey, go ahead.
Hey, David, thanks for doing this. I remember your draft year, and I remember talking about you in the meetings, and the two words I remember, so this is way back when, you know, we drafted a long time ago, 93, and I remember scouts saying two things all the time, three things actually, tough, positive, and smart. And I remember trying to get you a couple times, just asking the other GMs, you know, is this a guy you'd move? And they're like, no, he's too valuable in the organization around the young guys. You have a positive attitude all the time. That's really important to a GM. Talk about that.
Well, you know, I always grew up where the valuability of a positive teammate. And I always, my rookie year, I had some older guys. The American League was older at the time, and you learn a lot from the older guys, which I think that some players now are missing because of the younger age group in the American Hockey League. But I learned a lot from the older guys and realized that you can play a long time if you do show leadership and you are positive and you're one of the guys that the coach can lean on. So I always wanted to take advantage of situations, and that was one where I figured that I did have a talent.
I have a question that I want to ask, and one that Anthony Stewart wants me to ask. So I'll start with Stewie's question, just for the good of the show. Anthony wants me to ask you about water skiing behind a Zamboni.
Yeah, that went viral. That was we were in Nottingham, a full house, 6,000 or 7,000, and we were up 7-0 going into the third. So that's why if anyone's seen the video, I stopped at center ice because I didn't want to rub it in too much, but the linesman came out and broke the glass through the penalty box when he slammed it coming out for the period. And the Zamboni came out, and I used to do it during practice. The Zamboni came out to clean the glass off the ice, and I was just sitting there, and I tapped one of the guys on the David Clark on the bench and said, "Watch this," and that then the video takes care of itself.
That's phenomenal. And then I'll ask my second question here, which is just for my own question or my own interest. You played on 24 teams across 14 leagues. what is the same all over? Like, what is it that no matter where you go, you can count on it's still hockey? Because you've been in different countries and different leagues, and I know there are some threads that bind all those different hockey teams and players.
Yeah, you know, the one thing is that all the guys in the leagues that I played in, they're all competitive and they're all striving for one end goal, and that's to win the championship. And in Europe and in the American League, it's not the Stanley Cup, but they're all chasing that goal, and sometimes it's that goal plus they want to get back to the NHL. But when you go to Europe, it's more of just winning the championship in what you're playing in, and that's the common thread that every country has.
Being joined by David Ling, former NHLer, now, by the way, playing with the Hamilton Steelhawks. And, you know, I'm just having a look at the Steelhawks roster here, David, and a couple of names jump out at me right away. A couple of goaltenders, Mike Morrison and Adam Monroe, jump out right away. But the one that, and man, maybe it's just because I did an interview with John Tavares last night with Elliot Friedman on our YouTube channel. And maybe just because, you know, I watched this guy play plenty other in the OHL where he was a dynamite star for Barrie, or watch him play with the Toronto Marlboros. Brian Cameron. I remember how good Brian Cameron was as a minor player and an OHLer as well. What are your thoughts on your teammate? And who are some of the guys on that Hamilton team that you look at and you say, this guy maybe should have been a bigger deal?
Well, you know, Brian's one of them. I remember watching him in the OHL, and his hands and his intelligence was way above a lot of the players. So, you know, he's really good, and he's still got hands. He's a little slower like us all. But another guy, Chris Newberry, he played there this year, and he had a long career, and he could have done probably a little bit more. But we have most of our players all played at least East Coast League and higher, and it's a really competitive league.
Berkey?
David, the guys like you, the character career guys who play hard and play well, are so integral to the success of the American Hockey League. And you got close to 100 NHL games in, so it wasn't just at that level. But talk about the guys, you know, the Ryan Hamiltons of the world that are such good players and such character people around the young players who are moving up a little quicker than they are, and how important they are to pro hockey.
Yeah, and those guys are even leaving the game. Like, I remember half the team being older when I first started, but the older guys and the leadership that there's things in the game, in the dressing room that only experience can teach the younger players. And I think that those are things that the good teams value, and they stock their American League team with good leadership quality guys on the team, and it shows with the new guys coming up and the NHLers that they produce. So I think that they can't leave the game. They're more valuable than people think.
With David Ling, David, give us your story. Give us your snapshot. How you go from, you know, being someone born in Halifax, getting to the Kingston Frontenacs. Take us through that journey.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in PEI, and I was playing minor hockey. I ended up playing tier two junior when I was 14 with the Charlottetown Abbeys, and Forby Kennedy, the older NHL guy. He was my coach, and you know, I wanted to play in the OHL, and he taught me the physical aspect of the game. My brother, who took the other route and played under Dave Poulin at Notre Dame, and so there was two different routes. And I knew that being smaller and a little bit slower, I had to prove that I was that I could do something else and add value, and not, even though I wasn't 6 feet at the time, and that's probably why Berkey didn't draft me, because I was short and slow. So. back then we could play. We had to pick which league we wanted to play, and I wanted to play in OHL. And I went to St. Mike's the year before just to try to bring my stock up a little more. And then I ended up getting drafted to Kingston and playing 3 years there.
Justin
Linger, when I when you look at your back of your career and you can see that you would have played games in Le Centre Bell and you would have played games in Italy and you know, other play, the LNAH, all these different places. Do you have any stories for us about amenities of coming from NHL quality arenas and dressing rooms and then showing up at in some different countries and being like, what is even going on here?
Yeah, you know what? The first time I went over to Russia when in Spartak, and I hit, it was before the KHL, it was the Super League, and the rinks had not been, a lot of the rinks now have been modernized and new, but I hit some of the older rinks, and you'd get there and the bathroom would just be a hole in the wall, in the floor, and the toilet paper, if there was any, would be outside on a roll. So, and the smell and the stink of the arena, it was eye opening. And then the amenities now in the KHL are way better now.
Did you? I remember talking to Ryan Whitney about this when he went over, about having to skate with his money in his hockey pants, not leaving it in the dressing room. Do you have any such stories like that from your time in Russia?
We got paid what we in the Super League. We got paid in cash the first year, and they brought us up into the attic of the rink, and they we lined up and we went into this little closet, and there was an older lady and a big mob looking guy with a gun and a mail bag on the floor and a money counter. And you went in and said your name. They dropped the hand in the money bag and put it to the counter and said, "There you go, thank you." Out you went.
Wow.
I was buddies with Freddie Brathwaite, and he said he used to sew pockets in his pants and holes in his pads and hide the money in there during practice so no one steal it.
Yeah, no, those stories are rampant, and always the fear of being operated on by a doctor over there will force some guys to break their contract and hustle back home. Of all the places, and you know, listen, NHL, we'll exclude the NHL because, you know, as Justin mentioned, you know, the amenities that come along with being an NHLer are obvious. But as far as minor pro stops go, which ones were your favorite?
You know, I like St. John's, and I like Toronto because the Leafs treat you first class, and those two cities were, playing for any of the original six teams was big, and playing in Newfoundland with being a baby Leaf, and it was surreal and fun. We traveled a lot, and we had a good team, a bunch of guys. Doug Shedden was coaching. I like playing in Toronto because you're still right in the hub of everything. One of the teams, Justin's dad coached me in Utah, and I really enjoyed Utah, the mountains, and the Olympics were coming there the next year, and the arena was first class. So there was pros and cons, and those probably were just three places that stuck out.
You know, just as a follow-up, because there's, you know, every player knows other players that probably should have played in the NHL over the, you know, for a long period of time, but for whatever reason, politics, not getting a break, wrong spot, wrong time, didn't end up getting their breaks. Who are some of those guys, David, that you look at and you say, wow, how did, you know, Joe Motzko not get a bigger look? How did Mark Hartigan not get more time in the NHL? Who are some of the guys that you played with through minor pro that you look at and you say, man, this guy should have been a full-time NHLer?
Well, there's a lot of highly skilled guys, and I try to, even now, I try to look back and do that same thing, like who could be good now or who now would have been good, really good then. But, you know, I played with Simon Gamache. He was highly skilled and really good American Hockey League player that just never got a break. There was, who else would there have been? Couple of the older guys. John Purvis was a great minor leaguer that didn't play that much. So there was a bunch of guys, and a lot of them back then were the smaller guys that just didn't get a chance because they were small.
Right. Berkey?
What was it like playing in Finland? That's a great country.
You know, I was in Helsinki, and I came halfway through the year. I left Switzerland, and Joker picked me up in Helsinki in January, so I get into Helsinki, which is a really great city. I like the Finnish player. I like the Finnish people. I like the Finnish style of hockey, where it's up and down and it's hard-nosed. The drawback was I was in January in Finland and it was dark. There was only about an hour of light a day. I was there for 4 months and, you know, saw the sun once but really enjoyed it. I really enjoy the Finnish people and the style of play.
Justin?
Hey, can you tell me a little bit about being an established player with an NHL career, you know, on your resume and, you know, KHL career and all that, and then being an older player in the ECHL. You know, it's a lot of kids trying to make it on the come up. You know, when I played in the East Coast League, there were a couple guys on our team. Marty Flickle was an older guy, a very good player, but they carried themselves in a certain way. You know, it was almost like anyone came close to him, they'd give him a whack. They weren't putting up with any of the BS. They, you know, they played a lot of power play. What was it like for you to be an older player in the Coast with a long resume?
Well, you know, it was fun. It was the opportunity that I would have only played in Brampton because of the demographics, and I wanted to play. But you know, I did take abuse for being the older guy from, you know, your own team and the other team, and sometimes the refs. But you know, it was fun. The game is so fast now. Even in the East Coast League, the players are so good. The thing in the East Coast League that lacks a little bit is the D zone and the defensemen and they're just learning young and learning and moving up. But the game has changed and I think they looked at my resume and thought I was tougher than I was because I was able to keep people away with my stick and it was kinda like they would have beat me up but because of the resume and the way the younger hockey player thinks now that they were a little bit scared.